nothing and you go, what's wrong? They're really thinking nothing because they have a nothing waffle. Whereas you and I are spaghetti and we have no such thing as a nothing waffle. So we go on rabbit trails and all of you track with us and it's we can just be the chick thing up here. So we're fun and it's a place to find your friends and it's a place where we can talk about women and the Word of God because there's a lot of stuff in here about us. And today, the reason I interrupted is because what we need to do is find out where you're going today because we want to put the biggest workshop in here. Because and right now they have Beauty in Every Season in here, but if that's not the biggest workshop, we want to put the biggest workshop. So let's just look at the workshops. And how many of you are planning on going to Beauty in Every Season? Let me see your hands. Okay, see, there's three.
She is Beautiful series that you've been on.
Three, five, eight. Okay. How many of you are planning on going the Superwoman Syndrome? Okay. How many prayer and worship? Wow, that's the biggest one so far. Savvy in the marketplace, that's not happening. Okay, and the rest are knitting and sewing, and you have to go to special places. And computers. So I think prayer and worship. How many are going to prayer and worship? Let me see your hands. Okay, that should be in here then. That needs to be in here. All right? No, I don't. They don't. Beauty in Every Season, I told Eleanor, this is the last year I am doing this. We're talking about fashion. We're talking about what God says about how we're supposed to look. We're going to look in the Word about some things. Then we're going to go and we're going to look at body shapes and dressing for your body shape and just the fun stuff about, you know, looking as good as we can. God knows at 63, it is taking a long time. And I am too old for this. So this is my last year because we need young girls up here that can tell us what are the newest trends. I went on TV today just to, you know, do a style shop thing. I could not believe it. Everybody was naked. I'm thinking, I'm living in a Christian bubble. My God, the world outside is naked. Anyway, so we're getting deeply spiritual. So Beauty in Every Season, we're going to have a good time. We'll talk about bras. We'll talk about girdles. We'll talk about style. We'll talk about body shape. Eleanor's got it down, and she's good at it. So let's give a hand for Eleanor. Yeah. So are you ready? Let's stand. Okay, we're going to tell you. If you're going to Beauty in Every Season, we are going to... There's about five of us. We'll be in 101, room 101 Bible College. If you're going to She is Superwoman, and that's going to be an amazing workshop. I know because I've heard Jess, and she is not Superwoman, but she should be. And she's going to bring some amazing truths and practical insights from the Word of God. So that's going to be in room 103 Bible College. Prayer and worship is going to be here in the platform. And everybody else is going where they're supposed to. Knitters are in.
Okay, we do need to say something about this. Is the first week of the sewing class.
How many are going to sew? Let me see your little hand.
He is, what's the word? Furious. Furious. And did you know in this psalm, three times the word, and God was furious. And I was like, oh Lord, here I'm a worship leader, and I'm doubting you all week long. Forgive me, Lord. You know, and the Lord is correcting me. His word is just such a, it serves to correct us and to cleanse us. Praise God. Let's look at verse 41. There's so much in this whole psalm. I mean, it was just, I could read the whole thing to you, but I want to just show you verse 41. Again and again, they put God to the test. They what? Limited. If you have the New King James, they limited the Lord. The first thing we have got to learn about worship, it is to know that our God is very big and very mighty. So if we're going to come in worship and prayer, I mean the bedrock of who we are, the core of where we're coming from and of who we are as Christians, is my God is amazing. My God can do great things. Amen. That is worship. That's worship. My God can do great and mighty things. Let us not limit the Lord. I just feel the Lord, that is the message of the hour right now for me and for us. which is, do not limit the Lord. It's so incredibly offensive to him. So offensive to him. Let's think that God is great and that he can do mighty, mighty things. I want to just share a few other instances where God was limited. God was limited. And then we'll look at his response just really quickly here. Moses. They were about to go into the promised land. The Lord said, speak to the rock. What did Moses do? He struck the rock. And the Lord said, you are not going into the promised land. And this is just so interesting. Why don't we go there? This is just so amazing to me. Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. You know, there's just, I'll just tell you really briefly as you're looking for numbers, that I was working on this message yesterday. I was starting to gather my ideas, but I was really putting it on paper yesterday. And for a few months, I've been telling my husband, you know, our laptop keeps crashing. Our laptop keeps crashing. We need a new laptop. Guess what happened last night at 8 p.m.? It did not just crash. My computer turned into a piece of garbage. It is trash. It is done. The hard drive is done. And I was telling Paul, well, maybe we could, you know, recover some of the information. Maybe there's a chip in there. And he just said, that is not how it works. It is gone. I had personal notes in there. I was starting to journal on there. It is poof, gone into cyber, you know, nothingness. Can you believe 8 p.m.? I had all these notes and more at 8 p.m. So I, you know, I'm getting the kids ready for bed. Oh, the computer just crashed. Well, at 9:30, I'm turning it on and it's clicking. And I was like, this is surreal. All of a sudden my world just went like, what is going on? This is surreal. And this is when he tells me, it doesn't work that way. I'm like, we can recover something. It doesn't work that way. The worst news ever. I had spent hours, so many notes. So what I'm sharing with you today is what I pulled from my brain in a different computer that also kept crashing. And so there, I believe that there has been some warfare against this message. And I really didn't catch on. I was like, Lord, did you not like my message? Was I going in the wrong direction? You know, praying like, okay, God, maybe you just didn't, you know, I should do something else. It wasn't until 9:07 this morning when I'm driving and I look over and I see my Bible and I see my purse and no notes and no CD because I'm going to put on some music. And right then my phone rings. I notice, and right then my phone rings, and my husband's like, your message is here on the counter. Are you turning around? And I'm telling you, it was right before the exit to Yucaipa Boulevard. I was able to pull over and turn around. And I was just like, something rose up, and I was like, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, Satan. And I started doing some major spiritual warfare. I was like, oh, no, the devil is interfering with this message. I was like, what is going on with this? This must be an important message. This must be an important message. What is going on? So I am so slow, you know? Like, why couldn't I get this weeks ago? Like, this is a really important message. God is so good. This is an important message. Praise God. You know? Yes, let's just give him some praise right now. Bless you, Jesus. We are a remnant of ladies. We're hungry for the Lord, and he loves that. He loves this. Okay, so Numbers 20, verse 12. That was the other thing. I couldn't find my Bible, so I have my NIV, but I love the New King James. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me. What does it say in New King James? You did not believe in me to... It says, hallow, okay. Some say to consecrate me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. He didn't say, you are not going into the land because you disobeyed me. He did not say, you are not going into the land because you got angry. He did not say you're not going into the land because you struck the rock. He said because you did not hallow me in the eyes of Israel. You did not make me look big in their eyes. You did not make me look like a great God in their eyes. See, up until that point, the rod was the powerful thing. He stretched it out and the waters parted. He struck the rock. What did he need Moses to use now? Words. This was going to blow everybody's mind. God can do miracles with words. This was new. And Moses didn't do it. He didn't make God as amazing as he is. They never knew that words could be powerful. They never knew that words could work a miracle. And Moses blew it. He could have spoken the word, and the water comes out, and all of Israel is going, our God is so great. Our God is so amazing. He does miracles with words. You did not hallow me in their eyes. I'm so big, and they don't even know it. I use words, and they don't know that yet. Isn't that amazing? Moses limited God. He made God look like God needs you to have a rod and keep striking things and doing. No, God said, make me look bigger. I am bigger. I can use words, okay? So you see, he could not, there was, God didn't, was God furious? God was furious. He does not like it when we limit him. Okay, I'm talking to myself here. What about the disciples? We don't have to look in Matthew 16. They're in the boat. Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's talking about all their nonsense, their pride, and all their religiosity. Beware. And the disciples, oh my gosh, they're like, we have no bread. He's talking because we have no bread, and we're so hungry. We have no bread. And Jesus says, maybe we should turn there. Again, I had to pull this from my memory. Let's turn to Matthew 16. His words are just classic. Jesus did not get mad at his disciples very much, even when they betrayed him. He didn't get mad at them. He was very patient. There's only a couple times Jesus gets mad when they limit him, when they think he is weak and small. He hates that. Let's not do that. Remember, as worshipers, our first thing is, God, you are so big and you're so great and you can do so much. Amen? So Matthew 16. I believe it's here. Yes. Oh, Lord. Verse 8. Again, this is NIV. You of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000? Or how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000? And how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? He's saying, I multiplied a whole bunch of bread. Why are you worried that there's no bread? I can multiply all this bread. You know, it's like when Martha was so worried about fixing them dinner. Oh my gosh, we have to fix them dinner. Jesus is like, I just multiplied a whole bunch of food. Food is not a problem here. Jesus is so big. He's like, I did this amazing thing and you're still worried? Oh, that really, it just messed with him, I think. It was just like, Jesus had a hard time here on earth because he was dealing with people who just lacked faith over and over. And I think that really tormented his soul. Like, Father, this is so hard. I've shown them so much. And, you know, that is the challenge when we're like, I've been praying for this person and they're still the same. And God's like, don't you remember? I got them to go forward at church. Don't you think that he who began a good work in them is faithful to complete it to the end? Amen? And so he starts like, what? And look at these words. Do you still not understand? Don't you remember? I mean, what are the things that we're believing for that we come to this prayer class and we're praying for? And God is saying, don't you remember how powerful I am and how big and great I am? So if we're gonna worship him and we're gonna pray, that has to be the core of where we're coming from. God, you are so great. Okay, let's move forward here. Martha and Mary, John 11. You know, there was a time I just kept going to this story. We don't have to go there either. I'll just mention it briefly. Jesus says, Martha, your brother is going to rise from the dead. What did she say? Yes, in the resurrection. In the resurrection. She didn't get it. She just did not understand how powerful Jesus was. What if the Lord were to tell you today, I am going to save your son? Oh, yes, Lord, you know, let's not limit him. What if the Lord would say, today I'm speaking to that person you're praying for. Oh, okay, Lord, let's not limit him. Martha said, yes, in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's what he told her. I am the resurrection. I'm here. Wherever Jesus is, there is life. All we need is him on the scene. All we need is Jesus on the scene. If he shows up, he got there a little late, according to them. But when he gets there, he can do so much. I mean, he can do the craziest thing, the impossible. Is that right? Amen? So whatever we're believing for, just say, as soon as you get on the scene, Lord Jesus, you are the life and you are the resurrection. And so we just pray, Lord, come. Come, and he will oftentimes use us and fill us and use us to bring Jesus to them. So he wept. What was his reaction? He wasn't furious, but I believe he wept in part because they were just not getting it. They were just weeping and crying, Lazarus. Well, here's Jesus right there. Oh, Lazarus. Jesus is, and he's just like, he's saying, Father, I told her to her face he's going to raise from the dead. I just told her. And they're still crying. I think it must crush the Lord's heart when he's telling us good things and we just don't get it. We just don't believe it. You know, he's so incredibly patient. We don't understand some of the hardships that Jesus had here when he was on the earth. Great and mighty miracles, and his disciples just thought of him so small, so small. Now, I want to bring to light some people who blessed Jesus, who made him happy because they believed Jesus could do amazing things, right? Remember some people who Jesus was like, oh, I like this. Let's talk about the woman with the issue of blood. If I just touch him, I will be healed. See, she just believed, he's so powerful, I'll just touch him. Jesus liked that. The centurion, oh, I don't think Jesus praised anyone more than this guy. Jesus was so tickled. He said, there is no one in Israel with such great faith. He loves faith. He loves it when we're like, you can do it. Yes, I know you can. You're awesome. You're big. And what did the centurion say? You don't even need to come to my house. Just say the word. Jesus loved it. That gave him glory and honor because he believed that Jesus was big and just could do it. The Syrophoenician woman. You know, it's not God's timing. It's just not God's timing. Remember, the disciples were going to go to Samaria, to Jerusalem, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The disciples were going to reach the Gentiles. Jesus was sent to the Jews. Well, she just believed he was good. It's just a crumb. You know, I might be a dog and the Jews are the children, but just give me a crumb. You're so powerful that just one little thing will heal my daughter. He liked that. He just was thinking, she knows I'm good. She knows I'm merciful. She knows she just needs a little bit of my power to heal her daughter. And he commended her. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, you know, he said, it's not my time. And she also, what did she say? Do what he says. Just do what he says. It's going to work out. She just trusted in his kindness, in his compassion. It's not God's timing. Well, you know, there's always a forerunner. There's always the forerunner. There's always the little bits and pieces before the actual timing. Have you noticed? You know? Praise God. They just had faith. Three more examples of people who just blessed God's heart because they said, you could probably just do this, you know. Abraham sacrificed Isaac. Hebrews 11 said, let's go there. We have to find this. It's precious. Hebrews 11. Oh, Lord, may this be said of us. We are women of faith. I just want to be a woman who just knows that my God can. Where's that confidence? A mindset of confidence in God's goodness and power. All the time. I don't ever want to slip out of that. God, you are so good and you are able. You are just so kind and so compassionate and so powerful. You're about to do something. I just know you're going to do something in this situation. And we just keep our ears and eyes open. Okay, Lord, you know, show me if you want to use me, what do you want me to do? Thank you, Lord. Verse 19. Actually, let's just read 17, 18, and 19. It's just so good. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I mean, Isaac was the one, you know. Abraham reasoned. See, just like the woman with the issue of blood. She reasoned, I bet if I just touch him. The centurion reasoned, I bet if he just says a word. The Syrophoenician woman reasoned, I know I'm, you know, not a Jew, I'm, you know, a Gentile, but I bet he is just kind enough and so incredibly powerful he'll help me. Let's reason in a good way. Let's reason with faith. I bet that let's Lord, expand our minds. Just like Abraham said, well, God wants me to kill Isaac. Let's read verse 19. That God could raise the dead. Well, he wants me to kill Isaac. I guess God can raise the dead. May we be women of great faith. May we be women of great faith. You know, I'm having faith for San Bernardino. I'm having faith for San Bernardino. I'm like, Lord, expand my mind. Expand my brain and give me these ideas. I am believing that the Lord is going to raise up government officials who are righteous. I believe there is a water table under San Bernardino. The Lord is going to purify our water. I do. And I believe, did you know that there is a law out there that if there has been pollution, that the company who polluted it has to come and clean it up? Well, that base is polluted and they need to come clean it up. And I'm believing the Lord. You have given us wells of salvation. And do it in the natural, Lord. Wells of salvation. Clean the water. We need clean land over there. Why aren't they coming and clean? I mean, but it's going to take some government officials to make a big ruckus. And I believe, of course, prayer. We always open the way. We always open the way and then it happens in the natural. And so let's ask the Lord, give me eyes of faith. You know, some of us are praying for our husbands. God, we need to ask this question. I asked this question to the Lord. You know, there was a time I had ministry and he was in the secular. His walk with the Lord was growing a little cold. And I was growing hotter and hotter and being asked to minister in all these churches. And I was like, I don't know. I could see that I could be like, go and do great ministry and he would support me from the background. And I just stopped and said, wait. I'm going to pull back, and I want him, I want to minister together. I just want to be arm in arm, you know. And I had to really see with eyes of faith. And I don't want to dishonor him in any way, but I just had to not look at what was in front of me and say, who is my husband in the spirit, Lord? Who is my husband? He just had a secular job. He was playing bass at church. This is when we lived in Las Vegas. And I had to say, who is he in the spirit? Show me. I got to know who he is so I can pray. And the Lord began to just show me. He's a mighty man of valor. During our first year of marriage, he's a mighty man. He's a warrior in the spirit. He's a general. And the Lord just began to show me, oh, yes, God. Yes, God. And I began to just focus on that, because if I looked in the natural, I was just going to be really bothered and very angry and disappointed. So let's do that for whoever we're praying for. Show me in the spirit. See, Abraham reasoned. Well, God can raise from the dead. Let's begin to, Lord, show me something about this. You know, show me, expand my mind. Show me who my children are in you. Show me how to pray about this. We need to get those God ideas and not limit God. Remember, we're talking about like just expand my mind so that I can pray according to your greatness and your power. Praise God. Joshua and Caleb, they went into the land. What did they say about the giants? They are our bread. The giants are our bread. God loved that. Everybody else died, and only those two went in. I want to be one who has a mighty testimony of faith. Oh, we can do it. San Bernardino is going to be just an example city. It's going to be a wonderful turnaround. It's going to be just like, wow, can you believe what happened in San Bernardino? They had this happen and this happen. And amen? David against Goliath. He was just a little firecracker, wasn't he? Who does he think he is coming against the armies of the Lord God Almighty? Right? The Lord loved that. Even in Psalm 78, you know, the psalm the Lord is using to correct me and chastise me. At the very end, he just got so frustrated with Israel. And let's go there. Let's go there. Back to Psalm 78. Oh, the Lord loves faith. He hates just that sad doubt. You know, he's like, don't do that. He is so blessed by faith. Let's go to verse 67. Well, verse 59, real quick. You ready? Okay. When God heard them, he was very angry. Again, furious. He rejected Israel completely. Rejected Israel completely. Anybody here want to be rejected? You want to lose your destiny? God has great things, but we just couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh, Lord. Let me believe. I got to believe for great things. I cannot let my destiny be canceled. Let's look at 67. Then he rejected the tents of Joseph. He said, I'm changing my plan. They're just not believing that I am a great and mighty God. Change of plan. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heights and the earth that he established forever. Verse 70, he chose who? David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. David was a man of worship And David believed that God was amazing. David believed God was amazing. He went straight from the sheep pen, right? He left his sheep straight to Goliath. And he was going, who does this guy think he is? Talking against the armies of the Most High God. He believed God was big. And God said, this is my leader. This is who I'm going to give the kingdom to. No more Joseph, no more Ephraim, no more Israel, Judah with David. And then it ends, verse 72, and David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands, he led them. End of story. Isn't that beautiful? So God is just, and at the beginning of this psalm, it says, this is a parable. These are deep things. This whole psalm is telling us, do not limit God. Do not doubt him. Be like David, who worshiped the Lord and just thought, God, you're just amazing. There is nothing too hard for you. Amen. So let's take a moment. And I just feel, can we take a few moments just to repent before the Lord for any doubt? Just repent for any depression. I mean, I know this is not to bring condemnation, but to say, why did I get so down when you are so big? And you probably already have a plan to fix whatever I'm praying for. You know, the Lord, the Bible says the trip to the promised land was 11 days. How long was the manna supposed to last? Maybe only a few days. And they complained against the manna. Remember what they said? Can God really give us meat? I mean, can he really? It was that attitude that just delayed and delayed. I don't want to delay any breakthroughs in my life. There's things I'm really praying for. You know? So let's have an attitude of maybe the manna, maybe this situation is just for a few days and the breakthrough is coming very soon. Praise you. Thank you, Lord, for your provision instead of, can God really, I mean, really, what is God going to do, like, heal? You know, of course he will. So I just, if someone is at the sound booth, let's put on track 5, please. So, Elijah, thank you so much for hanging out here. And as this song plays, I want us to begin to speak words. Just apologize to the Lord. Let's begin to speak words. Let's begin to use our creativity and say, Lord, I believe that you can take this person I'm praying for and touch their mind. Pierce through the darkness of their mind, and let's just begin to speak words of faith. Turn our doubt around, okay? Let's take just a few minutes. Thank you. I'll just lead us in a prayer. Father God, Lord, we're sorry. We've limited you. We've gotten worried about things. We've gotten down and depressed about things. And that's not good. That's not right, God. Please forgive us. Your Son shed his blood to wash us. Please cleanse us from doubt. Please cleanse us from the lies that we have accepted, that you are too far, that you are not paying attention. Oh, Lord God, Father God, forgive us. Wash us. We just thank you for your word that's just circumcising our minds and our hearts, cleansing us. Father, how we long to be people of faith 24/7. Women who just hang on and just believe that you are going to do something great. Just that toughness, God, that I know God's going to do something. Thank you. Now just begin to declare, Lord, I know that you can, and then fill in the blank. Thank you, Jesus. You can just lower that. Praise you, Jesus. You know, his word cleanses us. It's so good. Okay, if you're taking notes, this would be point number two, and we'll go through these, I think, very quickly. Number two, worship is a heart responding to God's love. Isn't that true? When we worship the Lord, usually God did something first, and we're just responding. It's a heart responding to God's love. Worship is a heart responding to God's love. Oh, worship is just automatic. When we feel God's love, when we get a picture of God's love, it's like, oh, worship you, Lord. Worship. So it's a mindset we keep all the time, knowing God is very big. And it's a heart response, too. I mean, even in a secular dictionary, they say it's the feeling of reverence and adoration or the expression of reverence and adoration. Even they know worship has to do with our heart. Let's go to Exodus 4:30. So this will be Exodus 4:30 and 31. And Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. So Aaron is talking to the people. He also performed the signs before the people. You know, he threw down the rod, it turned into a snake, all that. Verse 31, can we read it together? The first three words, and they believed. They believed. Oh my gosh, God is really with Moses and Aaron. God just sent them to set us free. They believed. They believed. Let's keep reading. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. Let me read that one more time. When they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. Worshipped. So they worshiped because they received something first. Let's just think, what impacted their hearts? And if you want to just call it out, what impacted their hearts that caused them to worship? In our own words, what would we say? God's love for them. God's love for them. Anyone else? God's presence, yes. It says, when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they probably thought they were forgotten, right? God has been seeing our misery. God is concerned about me? Wow, they bowed down and worshiped. So they received the news. God is concerned. What does it say in the New King James? When they heard that the Lord was, in the New King James, is it also concerned? Who has? The Lord had visited. Oh, visited, okay. So his presence, he was near. They were just so amazed. So first they believed, okay, God, this is for real. Look at these signs. But they didn't worship yet. What made them worship? Looked at, yes, the aware, that God was aware that he was near. He was concerned for them. He was looking to them. He was loving them. Then they worshiped. And I think so many people get saved. They believe unto salvation. They go forward. Yes, I believe that Jesus died for me. But there comes a time, maybe later, when they're like, God knows me. God is aware of my misery. God is near to me. He has looked on my affliction. He's close to me. He knows what's going on in my life. That will produce worship in our lives. 1 John says, we love him because he first loved us. So worship is always a response. God's love always comes first, and then our response of worship. This is just a little phrase. It's hard to worship when we won't receive God's love. It's hard to worship. Have you ever tried to worship? Lord, I worship you. But we haven't received God's love. And I know we're thinking, what? Won't receive God's love. Who won't receive God's love? Well, sometimes we feel condemned. We can't come before the Lord. Oh, I just yelled at my kids so bad. Oh my gosh, I just try and worship the Lord, but we haven't received his love because we feel bad about ourselves. Has anyone ever experienced that before? You're just kind of staying away from God because you feel bad. We won't receive God's love, and it's hard to worship. What about pride? I just read my Bible every day this week, and I prayed for that person, and they got saved, and I prayed for that other person, and I even fasted a day this week. We're a little prideful, and so we're trying to worship the Lord. Well, we have not received his love. You know, we feel we're pretty good. Pride. Self-pity. Things are just so hard. And then we come and we, you know, time to just worship the Lord. Or we, in the morning, our devotion time, we try and draw near to the Lord and worship. I just worship you, God. It's just so hard. We're so wrapped up in our own pain. We cannot worship. Why? We're empty. We have not received his love yet. Maybe we're just too busy. You know, okay, let me worship the Lord. God, I just worship you. Oh my gosh, I have so much to do. We have a dentist appointment and all. Okay, first, we have to receive his love. Receive his love. Drink first, receive. Just like the Israelites did. They heard, oh, God cares about me. He loves me. Automatic response, worship. Worship. Let's be experts on God's love. I mean, there's just so much. I tried to do a little bit of a teaching on this. There's so much. I just was like, I can't even touch this subject of love. It's just too much. Let's be experts on God's love. The Apostle Paul said, I just wish you could know the height and the depth and the width of God's love. I just wish you could know how much he loves you. And, you know, when we try and worship the Lord and we haven't really filled up on how much he loves us. It's like trying to get water from a well that's dry. So we really have to just abide in his love, Jesus said in John 15 or 16. Abide in his love. That means all the time, Lord, I know you love me. And just keep that in our minds. And so I wanted to ask you all to think of verses that make you feel or affirm that knowledge that God loves you. So let's think for a minute. And to me, when we think, use our minds, and try and remember a verse that will help us, it's like pulling out our spiritual sword. And it's like, I'm like, show me your moves. Well, I have this one, and I have this one. So show me your spiritual sword moves by just sharing your whatever scripture. You know, when you're just feeling like the Lord wants to touch your heart and just fill you with love, what is a verse that causes you to remember God's love for you? Yes. Yes. I know the plans I have for you. Oh, plans for good. Yes. Yes, Psalm 139. That whole chapter. It was in the notes that got, you know, fizzled. Yes. Oh, John 3:16. Yes. Go ahead in the red shirt. Red shirt. Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will show you great and mighty things, things you did not know. Oh, God, yes. Yes, in the very back. Oh, yes, Romans 8:28. He works all things together for good. What confidence, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I mean, I just say that all day. Joyce Meyer says, she, in her own words, I can do whatever I need to do. I can just do whatever I need to do because God is giving me the strength. You know, I love that rephrasing it. Yes. What is that one? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There is no good thing that he will withhold from you. These are things to receive God's love. That was Psalms 34, verse 8. Beautiful. Yes. These are scriptures that will cut through condemnation, cut through self-pity, and yes, back there? Uh-huh. He that is in the world. That's a really good one. God, I know you are in me, and you are great, and you are mighty. Yes. Psalm 91, he is my strength, my fortress. Oh, we just hide in him. God, I just hide in you today. He loves us so much. Yes, one more. Yes. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates. Well, it goes on and on. Yes. 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 Isn't that amazing? So, and I had written that. It's here, actually, Psalm 17, verses 20 through 26. He's praying for those who will believe, who will come to believe in him. He's praying for us. And he says, God, let them know how much I love them, that you love them the way you love me. And his prayer at the end is, God, that you would put your love in them, the love that you have for me, you would put it in them. Isn't that beautiful? I'm crying. And then just one more. I'm sorry. We're getting on a roll. Our hearts are being filled even as we speak this. Isn't that right? We have so many. Actually, let's just put on a song. Can we just drink of his love right now? Let's just drink of his love. He just loves us. We must remain in this love. We must remain. Track one. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's fill our spirit. Can we take advantage of this moment? Let's fill our heart with his love. Let's leave here full. Full. I need a heart full of love. I need my spirit full of his love today. So let's just take this song.
He is jealous for me.
Let's just...
Loves like a hurricane.
The devil hates this, ladies. He just hates when we declare that, oh, God loves me. You can turn it up a little.
All of a sudden, I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your
affections. You can turn it up because let's sing along.
For me. And oh, how he loves us all. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, he is jealous. And he is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us all. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us.
Thank you, God, that you are a God of compassion. You do see our misery. You do see those things. You see the hurt. We trust in your love. We trust in your love. Just like the Syrophoenician woman, we say, God, just a drop of your power will change everything. Just reach out and touch our lives, Lord. And let's just make the devil mad and just keep singing this song.
He loves us. Oh, how he loves.
Oh, it's going to work out for good, Lord. We believe it.
He loves us. Oh,
he loves us.
Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If his grace is an ocean, we're all safe.
Thank you, Jesus. To our feet and just let him just wash over you with a waterfall of his love this morning. Let him just pour upon you his love. You can turn it up just a little. Your resource of love is always there, always ready and overwhelming, oh God.
Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves.
He loves each one of us. He sees us, every situation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Can we just give him a clap and just thank you, Lord? Woo! Oh, thank you. You can be seated. He's just so good. I just feel such an urgency in my heart to say we must do this at home. We must do this at home. I'm talking to myself. I just feel the Lord is saying, abide in my love. Abide in me, and there will be much fruit. You know, we're the branches. Let's just stay connected to him with that mindset of, remember we had a series called But God. All this is mess going on, but God. And I just love that. And so let's just keep that expectancy of what the Lord is going to do. He loves us so much. He loves us. And when we receive his love, oh, worship will just pour out. I mean, we will just fall at his feet. He's so wonderful. So wonderful. Can I just read one? I see one verse being highlighted to me here. Zechariah 3:17. I think it's 3:17. Let me see. Maybe it's Zephaniah. It's the one where it says, he sings over you and he will dance over you. No? Is it Zephaniah? Oh, I'm back. There it is. All these little tiny books. Praise you, Jesus. Let's just let the Lord speak this to us today. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. Oh, let's grab a hold of that for whatever our need is. He is mighty. He is mighty to save for each one of our kids. He is mighty to save in our grandkids. The Lord your God is with you. He's with us. He is with us. He's inside of us. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It says, he will take great delight in you. If you can find Zephaniah 3:17, that would be awesome. He will take great delight in you. We'll have to chew on that because so many of us don't really believe that. God delighting in me? No, he's probably really disappointed and doesn't even want to look at me because, you know, let's chew on this. He will take great delight in you. You know one reason he takes delight in you? Because you are a human being. You are a soul. And you are so beautiful. You are a human soul. You have the capacity to feel and to think and to respond and worship to him. That's beautiful. Every humanity is so beautiful to him. I mean, if you're a human being, God is already impressed. He loves his creation. He thinks it's fascinating and beautiful. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So many times we're singing a worship song, and I hear the Lord singing it back. Is that bizarre? I mean, he's not worshiping us, but we'll say something like, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. You know what he says? He gives us his heart. He gives us his everything. Isn't that amazing? We give him our everything. And he's saying, I give you my everything too. Oh, there's just so, if we will hear it during our praise and worship times, that song, the Lord just, you are beautiful, and he's singing back, you are beautiful. I just want to challenge you, when we sing these songs to the Lord, I mean, so many times, he reciprocates way more in a way bigger measure than we could, of course. Do we give him 100%? We want to. Does he give us 100%? Yes, he did. Isn't that amazing? Just amazing. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Well, so we're running out of time, but there is one more point if you want to write it. Number 3, worship is a sound. It is a sound of adoration to God. So first, it was a mindset we keep all the time. My God is great and mighty and powerful and loving. It's confidence. Number 2 was worship is a heart response. It's that love and adoration. And number 3, worship is a sound. It cannot stay inside. It comes out of our mouth. Worship comes out, I mean, over and over in the scriptures. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said that in 2 different teachings. It is vocal. It is an overflow. Sometimes a miracle would happen in the Bible and the people would just burst out into song. You remember when they crossed the Red Sea and all their enemies were destroyed? They just burst out in song. It's just a human thing. It's just maybe an angelic thing too. I don't know. When something amazing happens, it just comes out. So worship is something, it's a sound. Worship is a sound. And praises. So Miriam and the Israelites, Barak and Deborah, when they defeated the enemy, they had a whole song in the Bible. Mary, after Gabriel told her that she would bear the Messiah, she just spontaneously, a song came out. Zechariah, after he named John, and so many examples of just this song would come out. It's just the way God made us. So worship is music. Worship is music. Worship is, you know, just extolling the Lord and lifting him up and saying how wonderful he is. You know, when in Israel, when music really, really got connected with worship was when David was king. David brought music into their worship time. He brought the singers and the musicians in, and he absolutely established it. Remember at the end of Psalm 78, God just was like, okay, change of plans. They do not believe. They keep, you know, just limiting me. Who did he bring in? David. And David is the one who said, music. We're going to have some music here. And I think God just loved that. God loved that. He had singers and musicians that ministered 24/7, and they were full-time and had hundreds of them. I don't remember exactly how many. And every time after Israel strayed from the Lord, every time they would be brought back with Hezekiah, with Ezra, with Nehemiah, they always got the singers. That was always something, a big deal for them. We've got to get the singers back. It was always part of temple worship, music. In their time of worship and prayer. Let's end with Revelation 5. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So Revelation 5. Pastor Deborah has taught us that this is the Lamb coming and getting the scroll from the Father seated on the throne. The scroll is the title deed to earth. He said, I'll take earth. I'll take humanity. I'll save the situation. He was the only one who could because he was human and he was perfect. So the angels, everyone is weeping. Who can save earth? Who's able to open this scroll, the title deed to earth? It's going to be destroyed. What? They're sad. The Lamb comes. I'll take it. I can help. I can fix this situation. Verse 7. So Revelations 5, 7. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Interesting. Prayer, right? A bowl of prayer and the harp, right? So worship and prayer together right there. And they sang a new song three times in Revelations. There's these amazing songs of worship. And isn't that where we're headed? Isn't that where we're headed? Revelation is just telling us things to come. When Jesus comes to the earth, we're headed here. This is what it's going to be. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Oh, and then it declares our identity. This is beautiful. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. What a beautiful song. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. And then they sing a song. Let's go to verse 13. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth. I don't know what that means exactly. Under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing. Or some translations say saying. Saying. But this is a song. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. There is just these magnificent worship songs coming our way. Times of praise and worship. So worship definitely has to come out of our mouth. We saw the angels worshiping God. And in verse 13, every creature. I mean, I'm picturing the animals. I don't know how this works. Even the animals are praising God. Whatever it means, it's definitely coming out of our mouth in praise and worship. So worship has many facets, but I believe it culminates with our words, just our words, and worshiping the Lord. Let's do one more song to end, because our time has come. But let's worship. Can we worship the Lord? Song 3. And let's just focus on Jesus and just worship him and know that this is our destiny. We're going to be worshiping before his throne and offering prayers, right? The bowls of prayers, petitions. Go ahead. Track 3.
To him who sits on heaven's mercy.
struck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Yeah, yeah, yeah. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Praise the King of San Bernardino. Praise the King of our lives. Praise the King here at the Rock. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus. Our lives, God, are surrendered to you. We are yours today, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Well, be blessed. I feel the Lord has been blessed and honored by what we've done today. So let's just look for his blessing. Amen. Praise God. Have a beautiful day, and we'll see you next week.